2 Chronicles 19, and to focus upon the repeated failures of Jehoshaphat in the same area. His failure was he was far too close to the wicked society of Israel. He was far too close to Ahab and Jezebel, who were absolutely wicked people. He was far too close to them, although he himself was a believer in the true God. His son married a daughter of Ahab. We have that in 2 Chronicles 18, verse 1. And he keeps on supporting Ahab. And he goes out to fight together with Ahab, and he very nearly dies. That was in chapter 18. And now, finally, verse 1 of chapter 19, he returns to his house in peace to Jerusalem. Presumably at peace with God, although still shaking, I suppose, from having nearly been killed. And Jehu, the prophet, goes out to meet him and says to him, "Should you help the wicked?" This is Ahab and Jezebel and co. "And love those who hate Yahweh?" That was God's opinion of Ahab and Jezebel. "Because of this, wrath is on you from before Yahweh." From before Yahweh, as if God in the throne room, in the court of heaven, had considered this and had decided that there needed to be wrath against Jehoshaphat for what he did. And he still doesn't learn the lesson. He sends out his ships together with Ahab. He keeps on. Several times in his life, he is judged by God for being so close with Ahab, who we're told was a man who hated Yahweh. That's what we read in verse 2 here. Well, he kept on failing in this way. Not that he really hated Yahweh himself, but you can understand it. His son had married Ahab's daughter, and obviously Ahab and Jezebel particularly were very difficult in-laws, very insistent on their way, and levering, of course, through their daughter, who was probably rather similar to Ahab and Jezebel. And so it was one of those difficult family situations, and Jehoshaphat didn't put his foot down. And this led him into huge difficulty, and the wrath of God was upon him. But the overall judgment of God is in 1 Kings 22, 43. "He walked in all the way of Asa, his father, did not turn aside from it, doing what was right in the eyes of Yahweh." He did what was right in the eyes of Yahweh, and yet he had a recurrent weakness. His relationship with Ahab and Jezebel, that was his recurrent weakness. And because of that, we read here in verse 2, "The wrath of Yahweh was upon him." And yet, he is seen finally as having always done what was right before God. What are we to make of that? Well, I think a man may fail repeatedly through human weakness, although in his heart, he is far from it. He does not at all go along with what he has allowed himself to be sucked into, and may even experience God's judgment because of that. And yet, overall, God sees that the man's heart was right before him. So while he was involved there with Ahab, you know, and Ahab's wanting to listen to false prophets, and Jehoshaphat's saying, "Look, isn't that a prophet of Yahweh here?" "Oh, no," Ahab says, "oh, he's always bad news for me." And Jehoshaphat says to his in-law, Ahab, "Look, don't say that." He was compromised. That was the difficulty. He was absolutely compromised. And he allowed himself to be compromised. So although God was angry with him, the wrath of God was upon him for what he did, yet God still saw that his heart was right. So I'm afraid you do sort of come to this position that, well, God saw his sin as sin and culpable for judgment, but he did see it as a surface-level sin and not a matter of the heart. So in these cases, you see how the position of the heart is so critically important to God, absolutely critically important. Now, please don't go away with the idea that, okay, so surface sin, surface-level sin is kind of okay then. Yeah, I'm okay in my heart. Yeah, I did this wrong thing, but it's on the surface. No, you and I can't make that judgment call, neither about ourselves nor about other people. But I think what we can discern is that God looks on the heart and does see at times, in some people, a difference between their heart position and their external actions, which are wrong, sinful, and elicit his wrath and displeasure, as you see here with Jehoshaphat. This is why Jehu the seer comes out to meet him and gives him this tough message. Whatever, it points up the critical importance of your heart, of who you are when nobody's looking, what you really think about when you lie in bed at night, and when you wake up in the morning, and when you walk along the street, and when you are at work, and when you're at rest, and when you're travelling to and from work or whatever you're doing in your life. Where is your heart? Where are your thoughts? This is the critical issue. My son, give me your heart, God says in the Proverbs, and that is how it is. Give me your heart. That's what God wants. And I think we need to bear that in mind when you look at folks who clearly do sin and fail and do things which elicit the wrath of God. But that is not to say that God is going to condemn them at the last day because you do not see their heart. And that must be given due weight. We must not judge them because we are unable to judge them. You cannot psychologically penetrate into the hearts of other people, and yet the heart is clearly enough, as you see from Jehoshaphat, the heart is the critical issue in God's judgment of other people and all of us. And you can't see other people's hearts. You cannot. Therefore, you cannot judge. Now, as I say, I'm not saying that sin is okay or that just scribble it as surface level sin, that's okay. Not at all. Only God can make that judgment. But what is important is, above all, the heart.